All right, welcome to the Buckmaster Show. Obviously, this is not Bill Buckmaster. I am Ray Allen, usually the guy that's sitting on that side of the glass, but I'm over here. I feel a little bit out of control. Tom is on the other side today, and he is kindly volunteered his time to handle the controls over there. So thank you very much, Tom. Really appreciate that. And I'm usually the one doing the news all day long. I hang out over here at KVOI. Bill is on vacation. He asked me to fill in today. And so I kind of said, that's an honor to fill in for such a amazing broadcaster. And I took him up on that offer. So here I am. Good show plan for us today. A lot of guests, actually. Art Brooks from the Arizona Broadcasters Association will be on with us in segment two, talking about something they did last winter. It's a program they put on called Hooked on Heroin. It was about people and heroin addiction and how they can help get people off of heroin. So we'll talk to him about that next segment. Segment three, Ken McLeod of the League of American Bicyclists will be talking about Tucson's gold rating that we got a while back, and talking about how we can just continue to do well when it comes to cycling here in Tucson. Also, Carol Schultz will finish out the show in segment four with the Daughters of the American Revolution, talking about Constitution Week that's coming up here in a couple weeks. So starting off the show, though, we have Dan Gibson, the Director of Corporate Communications with Visit Tucson. Hey, Dan.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. How about you?
Oh, yeah. It's a nice day.
Yeah, right? Nice. What is it, 90 degrees, Tom? How hot is it right now?
Well, it's almost 88.
88.
I would say that's close enough.
Oh man, it's almost fall.
Yeah, the storm. It seems like there's a storm a brewing.
Yeah,
it's a full day. Well, and it's thanks for having me on your very first show.
Oh well, thank you.
This could be your beginning towards a golden mic. Maybe there are the Arizona Broadcast guys coming, bring you one right now.
Yeah, right. I doubt it.
You're just killing it right off the bat. He's like, here you go. We're going to skip the years and years of time
that and it takes effort and what it takes to put this all together. And here's your preemptive golden mic.
I just wanted to give it to you right now.
Yeah, right. We see the future, a good future for you. No, I highly doubt that, actually. So kind of what we wanted to talk about here with you is kind of what's coming up in the fall. We have a lot of events happening in the fall, a lot of stuff going on in Tucson. Also kind of wanted to just talk about tourism in general and what's happening in that area. And that's about it, man. Should be a really fun segment.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's been an interesting year. We finished up our fiscal year in July, at the end of July.
Mm-hmm.
And tourism in general, we measure those things basically by the quickest way to say it is heads in beds, right? Is
actual
people sleeping in hotels in town. And the way that those are measured are sort of three metrics. There's occupancy, like the number of rooms that are full, right?
Mm-hmm.
There is revenue, how much a room rate, how much people are charging for those rooms.
Mm-hmm.
And then a thing called RevPAR, which is revenue per available room. And all three of those factors were up for our fiscal year.
That's good.
Yeah, no, it does show that we're rebounding. This is the largest gain since the recession. So there was a giant collapse, essentially, of the hotel industry. It hit very hard in Tucson in the, 07, 08.
Yeah.
But we're starting to see the rebound of that space. The rate is coming back up, which is sort of a mixed blessing, but we're still very competitive, usually cheaper than nearly every destination of our size. And the number of people that are coming to these rooms, it's been really good. So it's obviously, we have things like the Gem Show, where basically every hotel room in town is full during the month of February. But we are sort of helping to create more events, helping to sponsor events, helping just to make sure that people are finding out what a great destination Tucson is, what a special place it is. And I think those things are working, and the numbers are showing that. And we're looking forward to a year where we really sort of exceed those numbers and just really blow it up. Tucson becomes the sort of big destination that we hope it will be.
Yeah, very nice. That's promising.
Well, it's a huge industry. I mean, you think about, it's over 20,000 jobs in Tucson that are directly tied to tourism, and then, millions and millions of dollars. So.
No, of course. And people visiting, that always brings a lot of money here. There's an article from USA Today that was from last month talking about this CVent, the Event Management Portal, that's coming to Tucson. Can you tell me about what that is? Or actually not coming to Tucson, but the there's a list of 50 most popular cities, and we made that list.
Yeah, which is a first for, I mean, it's a first in a long time for Tucson. Tucson had sort of hovered around below the 50 mark.
Mm-hmm.
And so Tucson moved into the top 50 for destinations for meetings, which... Now, meetings are such a big deal because they fill a lot of rooms. It's great to have leisure travelers here. You want people to come anyway. But when you have a meeting here, it can fill up half a hotel at times, or sometimes even nearly the entire hotel. So what USA Today was noting is that a lot of these conventions are moving from places like Las Vegas, Anaheim, New York City, these huge sort of destination spaces into smaller spaces, which is really good for us. And I think what that's noting is that people want a different experience. Now, they, if you're in the American Chiropractic Association or something like that, you've probably been to Las Vegas for a convention before. You've been to Anaheim, Los Angeles. You want to see something different. And the culture proposition that Tucson offers, we have these great properties, we have incredibly luxury resorts. You can have all these great ballrooms and experiences, but you can also get out and see the city.
Yeah.
So when we talk to meetings people, it's actually changing so much. It used to be about a simple proposition of what are the facilities you have? And we have great facilities. I would say that. But also it's that now people are wanting, so what else is there?
Yeah, exactly. One of the points that was in the article here was, you know, your proximity to Mexico, the Native American culture, the Spanish and Western cultures here. So those are all things I think that bring people to Tucson that might not bring them to some more, you know, homogenized, larger city.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're you know, we have competitors in those spaces, but it's really saying what makes Tucson special, trying to sort of grasp an essence of a city, which is a little bit of a unique challenge, you know, but it's really trying to find that space to say, when we bring meetings planners here, we take them to great local restaurants. We take them to food tours of South 12th Avenue.
Yeah.
It's to give them a different perspective to say, hey, the people that you have coming here, whether they're for, you know, medical things or class reunions or military reunions, all these variety of things that people come to things for groups for, they want to experience the place they're at.
Yeah.
And the downside of that is, well, the thing that's troubling about that is people are taking fewer vacations.
Yeah.
The upside is for us is that when they are going on a business trip, they want to have a little mini vacation in that space as well. So they want to feel relaxed and re-energized.
Yeah, of course. And Tucson is a place that can offer that, you know, as far as relaxation, as far as a culture. I mean, when you look at us compared to, I think, other cities, there's a deep, rich culture here. And I think that is something you can sell and something that you can market.
Yeah, it's a funny thing to try to sell that. You know, I mean, it seems like the antithesis of what you're supposed to do.
Of course,
but it is how we pitch it, right? Is to say, listen, it's a place unique. It's unlike anywhere else in the country, I think, in the world. And it's a unique experience for people to come here. That's why, you know, it's the thing we really try to emphasize.
Yeah, it maybe sells the not the proper thing. It's a proper way of saying it.
It's 100%.
I mean, that's what you're really doing. So we made number 48 on the list. So I'm assuming these other names, Pittsburgh and Jacksonville and Tucson, are similar markets. Charleston's South Carolina, or are they the new ones that were added to the list this year?
Some of those are rising and falling. Pittsburgh, I think Pittsburgh, Jacksonville, and Charleston are all ones that are new to that space. And there's cities with sort of similar vibes. I mean, Charleston is obviously a big food destination. Pittsburgh is an up-and-coming youth sort of place, but big with millennials. So it's an interesting space of, like, how do you figure that stuff out? We're still, our budget is dwarfed by cities like Las Vegas and even Phoenix. So how do we find those spaces? How do we really drill down to, like, the sort of people that are really more, have an affinity for Tucson, and people who are likely to make that choice to say, like, that they would really appreciate
it. Well, come this time next year, assuming the hotel downtown is complete, the new one they're building.
Yeah, the AC Marriott. May not be, but we'll cross our... It's a long-scale project.
Well, okay, maybe 2 years from now. Let's look forward to that. Do you think that the possibility of us continuing to be on this list is an option because of that and other things that are happening downtown and within the Tucson area?
I'd say certainly we hang in on that list. I assume, based on sort of the tracking and the arc that Tucson is taking, I think we'll move up.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think I'd hope that we're on the higher end of the 40s would be my guess for next year.
Good.
More meetings are coming here, both small scale ones, but also large scale ones too, that are just filling these rooms, and the managements at some of the hotel properties have stayed the same, which is good for us, is that mm-hmm. you have that transition that people really understand the market and they're trying to make it great. Some of the properties are going through renovations, which is good and bad. It's tough in the short term because there's fewer rooms. It's good in the long term because you have nicer places. So I think you look at somewhere like La Paloma that went through a renovation is going to see bigger numbers. You have more properties online. I think the convention center, the arena itself being renovated, has brought more opportunities for some of those things as well. And they're going to move on to some of the meeting spaces and things like that.
Got it. So this event that you do have coming up to promote tourism is the International Festivals Event Association of the JW Marriott. Tell me what that's all about.
So the International Festival and Events Association is it's sort of an interesting thing. This seems like the most meta thing in the world.
Yeah, right.
It's a group that promotes and runs events. So is an event for people who run events.
Yeah.
And it's a big get for us. Thankfully, we have a connection to the Stephen Schmader, who's the president of the group right now. He lived in Tucson and worked with Up With People for a long time.
Okay,
when Up With People was here.
Yeah.
So we gave this to the whole full court press. I mean, we wanted this group here. Because it's a lot of rooms. I mean, it's a it's a bunch of room nights, but it is also people who are very invested in that space. So it's people from the person who runs the Tournament of the Roses Parade will be there speaking.
Oh, wow.
People from huge international things, people who run the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade. So these are people who have incredible amount of experience. It's good in two ways. One, it helps our own Tucson event people they can be a part of this conversation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if people from the 4th Avenue Street Fair or the Tucson Festival Books, they can learn from these people who run amazing events and figure out how to increase the size of their events, make them better, more efficient.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But also it just brings a lot of people who know how to run events into our city.
Of course.
And we want to show them the best time so that they might say, hey, listen, I know how to run a food festival.
Mm-hmm.
Tucson seems great for that.
I might consider that in the future.
Right. Yeah. This might be a place that we can create something new. So, yeah, it's a great event. Just if you just took the numbers, it's like, oh, great.
Yeah.
More room nights. That's spectacular. But also the sort of lasting effect of that, I think, is a positive
Very
thing.
Very nice. That's good. Now, speaking of events, let's get into some of the events that are coming up here in Tucson.
Sure.
One of the things you were telling me about before we got on the show is this movie festival we have.
Yeah, Tucson Festival Films. This is the first year for Tucson Festival Films, and sort of a byproduct of a conversation that our film office was having with the mayor. And he said, you know, he's like, obviously we have these great film festivals, the Tucson International Film Festival, mm-hmm. Arizona National Film Festival, the Tucson Festival of Film and Music, and Tucson Terror Fest, and Law Film Festival.
Yeah.
So there's, huge, a lot of these big events. So how do you get people connected to them? How do you create something that somebody says they would like to come in from mm-hmm. out of town for? So this is probably the first, somebody may correct me eventually after I say this so many times, but I think it's the world's first collaborative film festival where you have people from all these film festivals bringing their films together, sort of like a greatest hits collection.
Yeah.
And that runs October 8th through 10th through the mostly through the Temple of Music and Art downtown, but also at the Loft Cinemas as well. And people can find more information about that at TucsonFestivalFilms.com or on Facebook, Twitter, all that stuff. But the big part is that there's going to be an anniversary showing of the film Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore, which was filmed in Tucson, a Martin Scorsese mm-hmm. film with Ellen Burstyn and Jodie Foster as
wow.
the stars.
Now, what is Martin Scorsese's connection to Tucson?
You know, the script for Alice Doesn't Live Here Anymore had setting in Phoenix and Tucson. So this was his second big movie after Mean Streets.
Before my time.
Yeah, a little bit. that's a fair point. And so he was here in his hysterical photos of Martin Scorsese in this big, thick beard and with a bolo tie, wearing shorts and cowboy boots. But and he's going to be on... they're going to have a video segment before the film where he talks about Tucson and the experience of filming it here. So it should be, it's a huge gala. There's going to be films for everybody. And it's going to be a great experience. And it's the first time. So it's a little bit of a bold experiment to see how these things work. But our film office is putting an incredible amount of work into it. And Herb Stratford, who's heard on KVOI here and then, is one of the people involved in making that happen as well.
Very exciting. Now, quickly, anything else coming up in September that we need to know about?
Ooh, September. I think one of the things, it's not September, the one things that we're really pushing and sort of trying to make the most of, to me, is the All Souls procession, which is actually early November. Such like a unique Tucson event that we're really trying to bring attention to that on a national scale to say, like, this is one of the really distinct Tucson things. Nobody has this event with, you know, 30,000 people going through the city. But if people ever want to, like, try to find something to do in town, they can go to our website, visittucson.org. It's a plethora of events. And
I love that word, plethora. It's a great word. Dan Gibson is with Visit Tucson. Really appreciate you coming on, Dan.
Oh, my pleasure.
Thank you so much.
I get to be your very first guest.
I know, man.
Nobody can take that away from me.
Oh, no. It's great. We're going to take a break right now. We'll be right back after this message. Thanks.
In Arizona Stadium to experience the thrill of the 2015 Arizona football season. Be there for the big hits, miracle catches, and game-winning field goals. Be there as your Wildcats make history and march towards a Pac-12 championship. Be there to create priceless memories with family, friends, and fellow fans.
The home opener is Thursday, September 3rd versus UTSA. Tickets start at $12 for adults and $7 for kids. Call 621-CATS or visit arizonawildcats.com/UTSA.
Hello?
Hey, honey. Just packing and getting ready for my flight home.
Great! You didn't forget about Adam's soccer game, did you?
Hey, it's his last game of the season. I wouldn't miss it for the world.
But you landed 4. How can you be there by 5?
No problem. I'm flying into Tucson. I parked right by the terminal, and the soccer field is only 10 minutes from the airport.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Pedestrian projects funded by the Regional Transportation Authority are now under construction at Treat Avenue and Broadway Boulevard and Craycroft Road in Fort Lowell Park. The crosswalk improvements provide added pedestrian safety. More than 37 high-intensity activated crosswalks have been funded by the RTA to date. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
Sometimes opportunity knocks. You've definitely met opportunity, and it may have even found you online. Opportunity also calls. It calls to see if you have an open appointment, even though it's really last minute. It calls to place a rush order for delivery, and it calls to ask about your holiday hours. With Cox Business Voice Manager, you can always follow up with opportunity. So when it leaves a voicemail, you'll get it right to your email, which means all of your important messages reach you online. With Cox Business, you'll never miss an opportunity, no matter how it presents itself.
Bundle Cox Business Voice Manager and Internet for only $99 per month with a one-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card. Mention reward promo to qualify. Online redemption required. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 1/3/16. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Other restrictions apply.
All right, good afternoon, Tucson, 1223. I'm Ray Allen here at AM 1030 KVOI on the Buckmaster Show, filling in for Bill. Thank you so much, Bill, for letting me have the opportunity to do this. This portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico, just 3 hours east of Tucson. For a complete listing of the many things that you can do and the great places you can stay, like the Bear Mountain Lodge, the Casitas de Gila House Lodge, and the Bear Creek Cabins, go to southwestnewmexico.org. That's southwestnewmexico.org, or rather, visit southwestnewmexico.org. About this time, or maybe a little bit later last year, I was presented with an email to carry an interesting program. It was called Hooked on Heroin, and it's something that, or Hooked Trafficking Heroin's Hold on Arizona. It was something that I was very interested in. It was something that aired January 13th of this year, and we have Art Brooks, the president and CEO of the Arizona Broadcasters Association, on the air right now to talk about this program and what it did for Arizona. Hi, Art. How are you?
Hey, I'm fine, Ray. Thanks for having me on.
You're very welcome. You're on my inaugural show here, my first time ever hosting a broadcast. So
I'm honored.
Well, it's great.
We'll see how I can screw it up for you.
Oh, well, yeah, you know, I don't think you'll do anything that I wouldn't do. tell me about this program. You know, we aired it here on our station. Again, I said that was January 13th, and it aired on many stations throughout Arizona. How many stations was that?
Well, it was 100% of the TV stations in
Excellent.
The state. We had 34 TV stations air it, and 93 radio stations around the state. And it was same time, same day, which is really a difficult task, but we were able to get her done.
Yeah, of course, because you have to bump any programming that you have there.
Well, and for the TV stations, they offered up the pre-prime, which is 6:30 to 7 p.m.
Wow.
And 5 to 5:30 p.m. for the Spanish stations. So they gave us the best time slot that they possibly could. And that says a lot for our broadcasters in the state about how they understand what was going on with the crisis and how to deal with it.
And how willing they were to volunteer their time up. What gave you the idea to really create the Hooked program?
You know, it started about a year before it aired. I was approached by some friends of mine here in town, and starting to educate me on what was going on with the opiate problem and the heroin problem, because they're both tied together.
Yeah.
And that casual meeting led into a meeting with the head of DEA for the state. There's a group called High Intensity Drug Trafficking Area, HIDA. We met with the head of that organization, and they started, presenting all the facts and figures of what was going on in Arizona, and that went on from about December of 13 till about April or May of 14.
Wow.
When we actually had enough information to think that we had a case to take to the broadcasters, and our partnership was with the Cronkite School here at ASU.
Yeah, of course.
And they were going to be our production outlet, and it just turned out to be a wonderful partnership and a wonderful, well-working agreement that we had. And the next thing was in July of last year, called a meeting in Phoenix of all the TV general managers.
All right.
And I had all of that whole group I just mentioned to you there to speak with them. And my ask was that you give up a half hour, hopefully prime time.
And that's not, you know, honestly, that's really not, it is a lot, but it's also not a lot when it comes to something that's very important for the community.
Exactly, because we're talking about saving lives.
Of course.
And our next move was to go down to Tucson, and we met with the TV managers there, and they're all in.
Yeah.
We got all the TV stations in Yuma in, so we got all three of the TV markets on board, And then I went to work on the radio side, and we got all the major groups in the state, as well as a good share of the outlying rural areas, to step up and join the program.
Wow! Now producing something with the Cronkite School of Journalism at ASU like this that'll play not only on TV but also on radio. What went into that?
On the radio side?
On both of them, really, because you know you have audio on one hand, and you have video on the other. How did you make that all work?
Well, it's a good question, because we had on the TV side. This is the commitment the Cronkite made from the dean. We started with Dean Chris Callahan, mm-hmm. and then the head of the Cronkite News Service, Mark Lodato, and they have a Pulitzer Prize-winning professor running their news division.
Yeah.
Her name is Jackie Petchel. So Mark and Jackie actually led this, and they committed the top-level students in each of the main disciplines, whether mm-hmm. it be PR, social media, audio, video, and investigative reporting. This became their fall commitment.
Wow.
This was their class for the fall.
That's awesome.
That's huge.
Yeah, of course.
So we, you know, there was some nervousness on the part of the GMs of the stations, understandably. Students are going to produce this. They're going to do the investigative reporting. We had a task force through that whole time from August until right up until the airing of the program.
Mm-hmm.
I had the CEO of one of the top world-renowned treatment recovery centers in Arizona. It's called The Meadows.
Okay.
It's in Wickenburg. He was on. I had the head of the school nurses programs from Department of Education on our steering committee.
Okay.
So she was pushing information out to every high school in the state.
Wow.
Through the school nurses, so they could do local programs. That night of the airing, we encouraged them to do panel discussions, viewing parties,
mm-hmm.
whatever they could do. And then on the radio side, once we were very comfortable with how the production was going to take place for the television side, it was high def, of course. It was the reporters were handling this really well, but we had all the expertise that they could have wanted right outside their room and for the steering committee.
Wow! Now, how long did it take to produce the program?
Production started in September.
Okay.
And they finished like 10 days before the broadcast.
Wow, that's awesome. That's
so
really cool.
On the radio side, to answer your question, we had NPR involved, and they helped take the audio from the TV side and not just lay it onto a track for radio. They actually massaged that and sweetened that audio so that it was actually a made-for-radio production.
Wow.
And it turned out really well.
No, I listened to it. Like I said, we played it. We aired it here on KVOI, yeah. And I listened to it. And I obviously flipped through the other stations to see where it was, and it was everywhere. It was great. Now, tell me, obviously this just wasn't about getting it on the air. It was about getting a response, right?
Mm,
I mean,
yeah.
That was part of the whole thing. You
Absolutely.
Guys had people standing by on the phones. What kind of response did you get out of the program?
You know, we had a call center set up in KAET, which is the PBS station, which is now operated by the Cronkite School.
Okay.
Then their building. So we had in their main studio, we had a 100 phone call center set up.
Wow.
And we had a 100 top level professionals from all over the state in the area of treatment and recovery come in. We had Tucson, Phoenix. You know, they came from all over the state to be a part of this.
Wow.
And the interesting thing about the call center, Ray, is the fact that we had 600 calls hit the system between those two half hours, the Spanish half hour and then the English half hour. And that's a lot of calls within a short period of time.
Yeah, of course.
They actually, I didn't know this till the next day when I got the calling report from the call center report from CenturyLink, and the report said they handled 438 calls
Wow.
of the 600. Well, the reason for that is the average length of call was 10 minutes.
That's excellent.
So there was a lot of counseling work going on that night.
No, of course. And did it lead to getting people into recovery programs? I'm hoping it did.
Absolutely. We will never know the numbers.
Of course.
But every call station had in front of them a book that we had published, and it had listed every county and every city in the state and the recovery and treatment centers in those locations. So wherever they were calling in from, we could point them in the direction of where to get that help.
Well, not only that, it just brings awareness to the general public about the issue. I mean, I've been touched by this, and people I know have been touched by this, not personally, but I know people who have struggled with drug addiction, and particularly heroin, and it's sad. It really is.
It is, but the point is, to your point, it's more common than anybody really realizes.
No, of course.
And if you look at the demographics, the 16 to 22 is probably the heart of the issue. Not that there aren't any much older, you know, in different age groups, but that's kind of the heart of this. And it all starts in the family medicine chest, interestingly enough.
Yes, with prescription drugs.
Yes, yep. Especially like Oxycontin or you know, one of the opiate drugs. And then once an addiction is formed, the guy on the street that's selling each pill at $75 has somebody, a cohort from the heroin world, standing on the same corner saying, well, look, I can sell you this little vial of heroin for $10.
Oh, man. And then they get them hooked, and that's it. And that's,
there you go.
That's where you got the name.
Yeah.
Gosh.
And unfortunately, Arizona is kind of ground zero for this because of the entry point.
Yeah.
From the drug cartels. And
at the border.
And the border, yes.
Well, Art, I really appreciate you coming on. We are out of time. Real quick, you know, with the, like, 15 seconds we have left, do you plan on doing anything like this again?
Well, I'd like to tell you that the Rocky Mountain chapter of the National Academy of Television Arts and Sciences is awarding both the Arizona Broadcasters Association and the Cronkite School at the Emmys this year for Arizona for
the whole
Rocky Mountain region.
That's excellent.
We're going to receive the Governor's Award, which is their top honor.
That's excellent.
Yes.
Wow, and to know that you know, you guys played an integral part in that, and to whatever part we were able to play in that and airing it is quite an honor for even us too.
You played a big role.
Well, thank you so much, Art. I really appreciate you coming on the show. And right now we're gonna take a break, and we'll come back with Ken McLeod talking about bicycling in Tucson. More on the Buckmaster Show after this.
Chemically sensitive? Worried about exposing your family and pets to chemicals sprayed around your home?
5-Star Termite and Pest Control may be your answer. Our patented treatment process has been used on many chemically sensitive families' homes. Homeowner and pet interaction with the termite barrier is rare because it's held safely within the wall void. We won't treat the soil in the yard where your pets and children play.
5-Star Termite and Pest Control, treating the termites' food, not the earth. 886-0045.
We're 5-Star Pest Control, and we know what bugs you.
The U of A Psychiatry Department is seeking veterans, first responders, and other individuals who've experienced traumatic stress in the past 5 years to participate in a DOD-funded study using light exposure and brain imaging. Eligible participants will receive up to $1,200 for completing the study. For more information, call 520-428-5141 or visit uascanlab.com. Click on the Traumatic Stress Study link. That's 520-428-5141 or uascanlab.com. This study has been approved by the U of A Institutional Review Board.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the stories missed by the mainstream media. Our sources bring you regional, national, and international news from a different perspective. Opinion from Emil Franzi, Phil Richardson, and other top national columnists. Plus, Eric Peters with auto reviews, Bob Garver on movies, Rebecca Guthrie on books, a section on Western heritage, and sports coverage, too. It's a cross-section of information found nowhere else. SOAZNewsX.com. Published Mondays and Thursdays. Subscriptions are free at SOAZNewsX.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary works to end the senseless abuse of horses and burros so these noble creatures can live free of pain and suffering. Its ranch in Amado is home to dozens of rescued equines who receive special care as they await new, loving homes. Won't you help? Visit equinevoices.org. Equine Voices, a voice for all equines who cannot speak for themselves.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here, aren't you?
Bruce Beat.
You're
Janos Wilder.
I know that face.
Don Pooley.
Hey there.
Bill Harlow.
Great to see you.
Dave Barry.
Thanks for coming.
Diana Cannon.
Hey, I'm really glad you're here.
Brenda Vino.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see
Chris
you.
Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
John Fina.
I didn't know you were coming.
Bill Hussey.
You're
Joseph Blair.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
I know that face.
Hey, it's Brian Jeffries.
Aren't you?
Ryan Hansen.
Hey, this is great. My neighbor's here.
Dane Wall.
You made it.
Bob Logan.
Can I get you anything?
David Sleuths.
I thought I just saw you out.
Casey Polipchak.
This is a blast.
Bob Schaff.
Hey, you're
Bert Williams.
I'm speechless.
Jeff Ronstadt.
Hey, Ken, look who's here.
John Lewis.
Yeah, I know John. John Lewis, Commerce Bank of Arizona. Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party, too. We're now offering flowers, decor, and so much more. Check out our new business, Flower Design and Decor Company, 3619 East Speedway, just west of Alvernon, or online at arizonapartyrental.net.
Good afternoon, Tucson 1240. On the Buckmaster Show, I am Ray Allen, filling in for the vacationing Bill Buckmaster. Joined now by Ken McLeod of the League of American Bicyclists. Hi, Ken. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well, doing well. Story came across my desk probably about 2 months ago where your organization had rated Tucson and greater Pima County as a pretty nice place to bike, giving us a gold award here. Tell us what it takes to get a gold award in that area.
Well, to get a gold award, we're looking for a community that does a lot of things to promote bicycling and make it safe for people to bike.
Mm-hmm.
Tucson is a community where a good percentage of people bike to work and get to work by biking most of the time. When you look at cities that are between 300,000 and a million residents, Tucson is the seventh best city for bicycling.
Wow.
In terms of the percentage of people who get to work by biking. And I was really impressed when I looked at Tucson's application for their award, that they had a great history of having a strong bicycle advisory committee and local bicycling groups involved in making their government and their streets better for bicyclists.
Yeah, you know, it's hard to find people in Tucson that don't or haven't ridden a bike. You know, I ride a bike, and I have a lot of friends that that cycle around Tucson and utilize the loop path and everything that has to offer. There's other awards. You know, what is the next level up? You know, I saw that, what was it? Somewhere in Oregon was a little bit higher on this one.
Yes, there's two award levels above gold. There's platinum and diamond.
Okay.
And so right now there's only four communities in the U.S. that are platinum, and none have reached diamond quite yet.
Okay.
But Portland right now is a large platinum city, and so that might be the most comparable city for Tucson. I know Minneapolis has an application with us right now and is very hopeful, but it's too early to tell.
Got it. Now, is it that what separates, you know, a platinum from a gold? Is that the advocacy or the terrain itself? What is that?
So at our lower levels, the bronze and silver and gold, communities can really get to those levels in a lot of different ways. When we're looking at the platinums and the diamonds, we become a little more focused on whether or not the various things that a community is doing is actually resulting in more biking and more safety for bicyclists. So we're looking for a little harder data. And that's kind of the next step between the gold and the platinum.
Now, I know part of your mission is to promote safety, to promote bike safety. Tell us a little bit more about the mission of the Bike League and what that means.
So our mission is to really lead the movement to create a bicycle-friendly America for everyone. So we want to create an inclusive movement of people interested in biking for transportation, for recreation, and for it to be safe for people to make the choice to bike.
Got it.
So we really believe in working with local organizations and other national organizations and creating a movement for that improvement to biking.
Okay. We have a caller, KG, on the phone, wants to talk about bike safety and fatalities. Go ahead, KG. What's your question or comment?
I have seen about 6 bicyclists killed, and I did a study on my own about the causes of this. And they was always killed on a road that had no bike lanes. And they were, in the morning, they were going east when the sun barely peeked over the horizon. And the drivers behind them couldn't see them because of the glare of the sun in their face. And the last one I saw was on East Valencia. And it occurred in the evening. The sun was just barely setting. And this bicyclist was going, there was 2 of them, one was struck, one wasn't. They were going west in a setting sun, and the driver behind them couldn't see the bicyclist, and that's the last 2 that I saw. And I would encourage bicyclists that are riding in the early morning, if you're riding into the sun, you better get completely off the road, and same in the afternoon. Be aware that the motorists behind you can't see you in a rising or a setting sun.
Yeah, well, Ken, I would say one of the things that we've done here in the community is start giving bike lights out to people and things like that. Do you think that's a way to kind of help remedy that issue?
Yeah, lights are a great way to improve the visibility of bicyclists. Also, depending on the roadways, it can be appropriate to have a separated bike lane or a path available to the bicyclists so that they can separate themselves if possible.
Got it. Yeah, and that's one of the other things that we've seen kind of pop up here is separated bike lanes where you have, things that guard you from actually even veering into the bike lane. So it makes it easier for cyclists to ride along the street.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good examples of cities putting in separated bike lanes and a lot of great before and after studies showing the effects of those bike lanes and making it more appealing and safer for bicyclists.
Yeah, of course. Now, there has been some bad incidents of animosity towards cyclists, unfortunately, here in Tucson, where we've seen tacks thrown on the ground and issues there. Can you tell me what it takes to create a culture where the people, that the drivers and the cyclists, both get along well? What does it take for that?
I think it takes a shared understanding that we're all people. We're trying to get to different places, and at the end of the day, there's good and bad people. Those people sometimes choose to bike, sometimes they choose to use cars, but it's really about being people and not being a certain mode, and kind of having that understanding that everyone's, a son, daughter, husband, and wife.
No, of course.
Be safe.
Of course. I mean, and a lot of us, we're out there riding for enjoyment, riding to get to one place to the other, and you're in the car and we're on the bike. It's like you said, that understanding that we're all people, that it's important to watch out for each other, really is the thing. How can we get involved here in the local community with the league if we'd like to? Is there a way in Tucson?
So, unfortunately, I'm not familiar if we have league cycling instructors throughout the nation, 3,000 of them that mostly teach adult cycling classes.
Okay.
If you go to our website, there's a Connect Locally tool that will list local events, classes, bike shops, and those cycling instructors.
Okay, and what is the website there?
at bikeleague.org.
Okay, great. Well, Ken, I really appreciate you coming on. It's important because there are a lot of cyclists out there. There's a lot of, and it's a lot of fun here in Tucson, you know. We've got a public event that's happening here. Tucson News Now is reporting on some classes for people who are interested throughout the month of September and October. If you go to the website, there's a story on that. And that just is one of those things that helps make Tucson a good place to bike. And I really appreciate you coming on the show to talk about it, Ken.
Thanks for having me.
All right, bye-bye. We're going to be right back. And we're coming back with a very interesting guest to talk about the Daughters of the American Revolution. They're a nonprofit organization here to get people involved with the Constitution. Constitution Day coming up here. We'll be right back on the Buckmaster Show.
It's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
The Regional Transportation Authority is delivering on its promises with more than 660 completed transportation improvements, pedestrian and bicycle safety upgrades, new sidewalks and bike lanes, as well as roadway transit and traffic signal technology improvements are helping people and goods move across our region. The RTA and its member jurisdictions are working together to offer you more options. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
All right, good afternoon, Tucson. 12:52 on this Thursday afternoon. Ray Allen sitting in for the vacationing of Bill Buckmaster. Very interesting segment ahead of us here, Daughters of the American Revolution. It's a nonprofit, non-political, volunteer women's organization and dedicated to the promotion and education for children and encouragement of patriotic endeavor and historical preservation. Our guest, Carol Schultz, is one of the daughters of the American Revolution. Welcome to the program, Carol.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
So one of the first questions that I'd like to ask is, how long has the Daughters of the American Revolution chapter been in Tucson, and when did it get started, and how did it get started?
Well, our Tucson chapter has been in existence since February of 1915. We just celebrated our 100th birthday.
Wow, that's excellent.
And it was the founding regent. Her name was Lua Adele Blatchley Freeman. Her husband was a botany professor at the U of A. They're originally from Manhattan, Kansas. Came out here. She had an interest in genealogy and lineage, and discovered that she qualified. And next thing she knew, she was founding our chapter.
Wow. So you talked about the qualifications. I'm assuming one of the qualifications that means that you're a daughter of the American Revolution means that you have family that participated or fought in the American Revolution, the Revolutionary War.
That's correct.
So tell me a little bit about your family and the history there.
My family, I am lucky. I have one who was performed patriotic service. In other words, he was one of those that did not necessarily fight, but he sold wheat to the Continental Forces.
Yeah.
I have two that were actually at Valley Forge with Washington.
Wow.
And in reading over the document and papers that one of them wrote, he called it the winter of death. He called it basically the winter that the men were starving to death, and they had no shoes, they had no food.
Yeah.
And when I read it, I thought it's a miracle that they actually made it through those winters. And then the other one that fought with him was 18 years old, and he was made a captain.
Wow.
And because his captain died, and then he took over, and I thought at the age of 18. And what was remarkable to me was that his commission was signed by John Hancock. And when he was mustered out of the service, he was mustered out by the Marquis de Lafayette.
Wow.
And then told to go back home to North Carolina, and he did recruitment there for the Continental Forces. So
I'm absolutely, I'm told that my family goes back on my mother's side to the Revolution era and prior. So there's a possibility that I might be a son of the American Revolution.
That's a very good possibility then.
Maybe it is, and it just fascinates me, the history here. Jim Kelly's on the phone with us. Jim, do you have a quick question for Carol?
This is not Jim Kelly.
Oh, I'm sorry.
This is just Jim.
Oh, Jim. Okay, Jim. Go ahead, Jim, with your question.
It wasn't really a question. It was a comment, and I wanted to give a plug in a way.
Yeah.
I'm a son of American Revolution.
Oh, okay. We got the daughters and sons. This is great.
Yeah, through my grandmother's side, we have a relative that was at both Lexington and Concord.
Wow.
And so anyway, I was back in D.C. a number of years ago, and I happened to kind of come across by accident the DAR Museum. And I was going to tell people, if they're ever back there and have some interest in this topic, to be sure and stop in there. It's a really neat little museum, and you can go in on the microfiche library there and look up, relatives and different history and, Revolutionary War records of your relative and stuff. It was just very interesting, and I enjoyed it very much.
Well, thank you, Jim. Carol, have you been to that museum?
I have.
You have?
I definitely have, yes. I was there for Continental Congress 2 years ago.
Okay. What was Continental Congress?
Congress is an annual convention of all of the Daughters of the American Revolution.
Okay.
Across the United States, across the world, because we also have chapters that are in other countries as well.
Oh, wow.
In fact, I'm an affiliate of the Rochambeau chapter in Paris, France.
That's incredible. So, it's just fascinating because the Constitution is something that is very, very American, but it's also something that can be loved by people throughout the whole entire world because it's very unique.
It is. It's a very very unique document.
So, speaking of the Constitution, Constitution Week is coming up September 17th through the 23rd. Tell me a little bit about Constitution Week, what that is, and how that came about.
Well, this was something that the Daughters of the American Revolution petitioned Congress for in 1955.
Okay.
And there was a congressman, senator from California, who took up our cause and helped promote it. And in August of 1956, then President Dwight D. Eisenhower signed Public Law 915 into being, which named Constitution Week September 17th through 23rd. And it is something that falls every year, and every year the President of the United States signs a proclamation naming it again Constitution Week. And September 17th is Constitution Day. which means this is actually, this year we're celebrating the 228th birthday of the signing of the Constitution.
Amazing. I remember visiting D.C. and seeing the copy of the Constitution, and it was incredible. One of the most amazing moments of my life in this country. You know, it was very, very, very neat to see.
It is. It's a wonderful document, and to be able to actually see it is amazing.
Incredible. The Constitution and the Declaration was great. Now, you have the president who offered a proclamation and also the governor of Arizona.
Right, and also our mayor.
And the mayor as well. So,
yes.
So everyone's really behind this. It's an excellent thing to celebrate. And we just really appreciate all that you ladies do here throughout the community. Tell me within the next minute, which is not a lot of time, what all you do.
Well, I'm not sure I can get it all in a minute.
but we
do a lot of patriot work. We have a lot of members that are doing volunteer work out at the VA hospital. We do work with Honor Flight. We help sponsor that. We also, at this time of the year, we put a lot of documentation and stuff in our schools, in our libraries, in regards to Constitution Week.
Wow.
We also have trunks that we go send out to schools.
Great work. Carol Schultz with the Daughters of the American Revolution. Appreciate you coming on.
Thank you.
And the Buckmaster Show will be back tomorrow. Another guest toast. Bill will be back next week. Thank you so much, and have a great Thursday afternoon. I'm Ray Allen.